Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Tracy, when I saw this topic, I could immediately relate on a personal level. Now, hear me out. My wife listens to every episode of this show. And you know you
Which we love.
Yeah, we love when everybody listens to every episode of the show. But you often give me ammo to attack her deficiency regarding time management. But this time it's my 10-year-old that is going to benefit from listening to this episode. And we have a family-friendly show, so I think I can get away with letting him listen to the episode.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
All right. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. You are listening to the Journey to There radio show. This is the intersection between personal and business growth. Hear us on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, and we're on Empower Radio Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and you can catch all of the episodes on JourneyToThere.com. Today, Tracy, I'm going to give you about 92% because this 110% thing is overrated, right?
Oh, and impossible, by the way. So,
but they say it all the time. You need to give 110%.
Well, see, the thing about this topic is that's exactly why I decided to have this soapbox be mine today, because I am constantly using the phrase 110%. And I just
had
an aha moment. Oh, I am so guilty. Like, I think the reason why I picked these topics is because I need help. So right. I feel like, you know what? If I talk about it, maybe it'll help me.
Let me share the topic as I see it here, the way you sent it to me. 90% is still an A, while giving 100% is not only the best idea. This goes back to school, like grade school, where 90 to 100 was an A and 80 to 89 was a B. Except for me growing up, believe it or not, 93 to 100 was an A. I don't know what happened there.
And not that we're going to explore this grading system literally so much, but there is a big range. When I was doing research for the topic, that I realized that, because I literally wanted to confirm that 90% was still an A, because I really think it is in life that extra 10% is the gray area where it can be a great idea or a not so great idea. And that's really what I want to talk about today, is the idea of giving 100% or giving 110%, as I often say and do actually, if that would be capable, is not always the best idea. And there are a lot of reasons why. And most people, when they think about this idea of 100%, it's like 100% customer satisfaction, 100%, you know, complete, 100% perfect, 100%. I mean, those things are virtually unattainable.
Not only that, here's what I often say. If you are constantly achieving 100%, here's where my problem is, and I tell this to people all the time. The only way you have to go is down. You give yourself no buffer.
Well, I never actually thought about it from that perspective, because 100% is not good enough for me. So I don't really think of it that way. But that is one of the reasons why, again, this topic is so critical for me. And it's really critical for me in where I am right now in my life and in my business, because there are some really big milestones that I've set for myself. And the reality of the situation is there's no way I could be working any harder towards them. And in my own opinion, there's no way I could be working any smarter towards them. The big fat reality that I have to accept is that what I'm reaching for and working towards in the next milestone that I have set for my business is one that has to come with time.
Yes.
It has to have, it's almost like I feel like I'm going out and I'm planting a field of corn, and I'm like, the next week I go back and I'm like, why aren't there any stalks?
I don't want to get too much, I don't want to be too much of a downer here, but you have the experience behind you, and you are always saying 110%, 110%, but from what I saw from your past was you were giving 150%, but you didn't leave, you're sacrificing something, and you didn't leave anything for yourself personally. And what happened is, did you kind of crash?
Kind of.
I'm trying to be liberal here.
I've mentioned this before, but I never think it's too difficult. Never think it hurts to mention again. My biggest crash, if you will, occurred after the biggest event that I had produced in my career in terms of the large scale celebrity, if you will, icon speakers and things like that in New York. It was tremendously successful. And I walked off the stage and I left the facility and it was snowing. And I was in the, not quite the fetal position, but like the sitting fetal position in New York, in between the two doors, you know, in colder cities, they have like a door and then they have another door. There's like that windbreaker part in the middle.
The vestibule.
Exactly. So I'm in the snow, dirty vestibule while my friend's in the toy store getting toys for her child. And I am realizing that I have once again gone overboard in the 150% arena. And now I am physically, emotionally, and spiritually depleted. And sadly, that wasn't my first experience. However, to date, it has been my last.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons why I really like to talk about this subject, and one of, and just like I said, like it never hurts to tell what happened to me in my story. It also never hurts to mention that the idea of being an overachiever, the idea of being a people pleaser, the idea of, you know, work to the extreme that people give you accolades instead of intervention. Those are all real, real things that aren't necessarily falling to the successful side of your world or the most beneficial for your health or your spirit or your family for that matter. Mm-hmm. So, but that whole giving the 100%, today I want to talk about the good and the bad. Like you said, you don't want to be a downer, neither do I. But I do think it's important, especially if you are that type A overachiever like myself, and I venture to say like you, because you definitely fall into the perfectionism arena. So I say that counts. Yeah, I do think. I know. And so what I want to position today is a lot of like questions and thought starters about like, for example, if you would to take your energy out of what you don't want to be doing anymore and put it into what you really want to be doing. So if you pose yourself that question, like you're at this business or you're in this working for this corporation or you're just overextended philanthropically speaking or coaching or any of those things like team coaching of sports, of children. I'm sure this is resonating with
all
you.
The
if
time.
It's not, I'll say it more directly. But all that being said is like, if you're giving, giving, and giving, but at the same time, your mind is going, I'm so done with this. I can't do this anymore. Why am I still doing this? That is a really huge red flag when your brain's going, why am I still doing this? Because you're right at that marginal point between giving and resenting. And there's a, there's a fine, fine line between being able to be giving of yourself and resenting the fact that you're giving so much.
So would you say, I know there's a big percentage of listeners that we have that are in that situation where they're not entrepreneurs yet, but they have a desire and dream to be, but they're still working for the quote unquote working for the man. And they are giving, you're saying that they're giving too much of a percentage to something that they don't want to be doing, and they're not, I guess, conserving some of that percentage, putting towards the effort of following their dream.
Yes, and there are a couple other ways of looking at it as well. So in the respect of a business arena, whether it's owning your own business, starting your own business, side business, so to speak, or working for someone else, the reality of the situation is most often people go into those situations, I'm going to say 99.9% of the time. That pun was not intended, but there it is. They go into it with a really positive outlook. They're very excited about what it is that they are, the opportunity that's presented before them. And so as a result of that, they don't necessarily set their boundaries on the front end of their client relationships or their work relationships with their peers or their direct supervisors or things like that, because they're so excited. So they want to say, hey, I'm here. I love this. I want to do the very best job that I can do. And so they come out of the gate like a thoroughbred in the Kentucky Derby when at they're not quite energetically able to sustain that level of momentum. And at some point, a couple of things happen. Either they crash, and then their performance starts to appear as if it's lacking, when actually what it is that they're actually doing just their job, as opposed to theirs and their neighbors next door.
They've set the bar too high.
That
for themselves.
And then too, yes, but without really knowing what you're getting into, because your intentions are so positive and so like me, I'm good. Do you see how good I am? And some of it's subconscious and some of it's conscious, because there's a lot of ego involved in overachievers. And there's a lot of ego involved in being perfectionist. There's a lot of validation in going above and beyond, because your ego gets like, oh, like, they just said, I'm so good, and I'm so good. Look how good I am. And so then that propels you to want to keep being that good, but maybe that rate of pace is not sustainable, right? And then one of two things happens. The perception is that you're not doing as good of a job, like I was saying, or you internally get to this place where you hit your wall and you're like, I can't do this anymore. Like, it becomes like a black and white, like, I've given all of God. I don't have any more.
Right.
So I can't do this job anymore. So I better find something else. And that it just doesn't have to end that way either way.
All right.
Does
so
that make sense?
Yeah, totally. And it looks like we've recognized the problem. And a lot of what we talked about was in the business world. And of course, this is the intersection between your business and personal life. So what I'm going to bring up right now before we get into the solution is how I said this hits me personally. And I need my 10-year-old to listen to this, because a lot of this behavior starts, or this way of thinking starts as a child. And
most definitely.
Here's this kid. He's 10 years old. And for instance, we had I attended his honor roll, where all the parents come and they do a presentation and they award them with their certificates. And there's AB honor roll, and then there's principal's honor roll. And AB honor roll is if you've maintained A's and B's throughout the quarter, and principal's if you got straight A's throughout the quarter and ended up with straight A's. So usually it's kind of balanced. There was a ton of AB recipients. There was only six. There were six A honor rolls, six principal's honor rolls. Our son was one of them. Very proud. But mind you, the pressure that this child puts on himself, you're going to go right ahead and blame the parents, and I can understand that, but we tell him it's okay to get a B. It's fine, but he puts so much pressure on himself, it's got to be, 100%. There was one time where he got his report card and he got straight A's, but one of his classes, he got a 90, and he got all down and depressed. He's like, yeah, but that's a low A. And it's like, you can't, he says, it's one away from a B. I said, but it's not a B. You got over that threshold and it is an A, and an A is an A. Just like you said, 90% is still an A. How do I tell that to a 10-year-old?
Okay, so I'm not a child psychologist. Just disclaimer up front for people who are hanging on the edge of their seat. And how is Tracy going to answer this question? My thought, and this is just like totally off the cuff, is going at it from a different perspective and trying something that may be a little out of the box, in that looking at maybe how he is using, and I don't know him well enough to answer these questions. So this is like, we're just having a brainstorm here. And this is a lot like what I do with my clients. So we'll see what sticks. So in that situation, he's so driven, he's so hard on himself. And for anybody who is listening, like if you're 10 or you're 49,
right,
or you're,
yeah,
60,
it applies.
This scenario applies.
This applies.
What I've started to notice about myself, and like I always say, I always use my examples about myself first and then try to see if they're relatable. What I try to figure out about myself is, what am I doing with any downtime that I have to do something that is taking the focus off of that 100%? Am I doing anything that's creative? Am I doing anything that is giving me a literal mental break from being good enough, good enough, good enough? So I know sports are definitely all driven about competition. And even though they're totally really fun and great for you, there is that whole competitive drive that he has. And then school, of course, is a huge part of your life. So I'd almost want to think about, like, what is that other 10% for him that he's doing that you could cultivate, that he either really enjoys or is not getting enough of, that feeds him in a way that's nurturing and creative and more soulful, Those are questions I can't answer, but that's how I'm trying to solve my problem.
Right.
So that's the way I'm presenting it to you.
No, this is good stuff.
Everybody needs that 10%. Everybody needs that 10%. And that's why I'm saying, like, A, permission that 90 is still an A. A, 90% is still an A. And B, that the other 10% leaves you mental space, physical space, and physical time to explore other things that you can do that give you a complete escape from that grinding sense of achieving and not being good enough. And even getting there, it's still not good enough. So then that's where that whole 110% thing comes from. And I had an aha moment before we were doing the show, Russ, and I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but today I did. Do you want to know what it is?
Yeah, definitely.
If you have a 100-gallon tank of gas, then you cannot fit 110 gallons of gas in said 100-gallon
container.
I like container.
It. You have an environmental spill.
It is, right, exactly. You have a critical spill of flammable substance to the degree of 10 gallons. And then all you have to do is light one match, or someone else light one match around you. And what's going to happen?
It all blows.
Blow up. So, you know, I love a metaphor. I love an analogy.
So you overfilled your gas tank back a few years ago.
I have overfilled my gas tank so many times that I've either lit my own match or somebody else just like had put out a cigarette that was like had one little ash left around mine.
No,
it imploded.
You put your own cigarette in there.
Right. And you know, actually, like, I never have thought about this again, but one time I was running critically late for a client situation because I had overscheduled myself, which we've talked about before, and we're not going to get into time management today. However, I literally spilled gas on myself at the gas tank, and I can picture it like it was yesterday. I can almost like literally tell you what I was wearing because I had pushed myself up to the limit. I was concerned about the preparedness. And now I have to say a disclaimer for myself, this was over 15 years ago, but still it happened. And
only you can take the figurative 110% and make it literal.
And literally spill gas on yourself. And I did, because you know why? I was multitasking. I wasn't paying attention. And the gas tank was overflowing.
Yeah.
And it spilled on me. So what did I have to do? I had to go home. I had to change my clothes because I did not want to go in smelling like fuel, nor did I want someone to light that match. And so therefore, I was then considerably late in having to explain the situation. And maybe I explained it in a funny enough way, but the reality of that should never have even happened in the first place. So it's literal and it's metaphor. It's a literal and a metaphoric example, if that's even how you describe it. And all that being said is that it's almost like a takeaway before we do our takeaways. But when you're in that situation and you think, I have got to do more, I've got to do more, look at whether or not you're like putting a square peg in a round hole and maybe you just literally can't
right.
do anymore.
There are some things that are just impossible.
Exactly. Or then accept the fact that you cannot fit an extra 10 gallons of gasoline in a 100-gallon tank because it ain't going to happen.
So, you have to understand, the human mind and the human body, very delicate. We can only handle so much. And when you put so much, too much on yourself, you're going to break. It's going to happen.
It is. And there's an alternate perspective around this in the business arena that I think is interesting to present. And that is for if you're in a working situation where you have an employer or you are an employer, this is a paradigm shift that I see happening, especially over the last 5 to 6 years, I would say, has become not only just an out-of-the-box way to manage, but almost like an imperative way to manage, if you will. It's gone from this is really unique and cool to if you don't do it this way, you're right. never going to have any to maintain any of your employee for long periods of time. And that is the idea of giving your staff the space to grow within and outside the company. So literally like giving them that 10% window of time or lowering expectations to a degree that enables them to have the opportunity for them to explore other opportunities within the company. So
give us a quick example.
Okay. So I'm thinking, like, for example, if you are going to work for a corporation, for example, that might, their your focus in that job might be that you're the social media manager, mm-hmm. and your entire purpose and the qualifications that you meet and the expertise that you provide is to manage the social media marketing for this company. But they also have another arm within their company that is a publishing arm. Like, let's say, for example, this company, in addition to the other services that they provide, that they put out a monthly magazine or even a really great monthly newsletter that's not, doesn't come within your realm of work description. But if you are allowed to then explore being involved in another department, like the publishing department, you already have a tendency to have like a content desire because you're writing social media content, which is a completely different skill set than long form content. And what could happen could be a really creative and great opportunity for both the publishing department and the social media department, because you could interface between them and you could also become a better writer. And then ultimately, that's going to make you better at your job. And it's also going to be giving a contribution to the product that's being put out on the publishing side. So all
I like that
happens.
Well, how many times have you heard the story when you're talking with somebody that works for very high up in a company, even like CEO or CFO or something like that, where they say, you know, I started as a receptionist.
And that is true, because that's allowing yourself to work your way up the food chain, if you will. And by doing so, so this is an interesting analogy. I'm going to have to like... take a right, and then I'm going to have to circle around the roundabout, and then I'm going to have to come back. So what you're saying in terms of like starting at the low end of the totem pole perceptually, but you're still doing a good job, so it's still an A. But then you are offering to support your services in other departments that you see might need help because they're drowning because so many budget cuts,
right,
and things like that.
Stepping up.
Then you learn other things about the other departments and they recognize your skill set. And as a result of that, you get promoted or moved forward. That's a tricky area in that you have to be sure that you're not giving 110% at that point, that you're still separating that over delivery situation so that you don't ultimately get in a situation where you overpromise and then can't deliver. But then the second thing is that you... in terms of like coming, this is the left turn coming back from the roundabout, is that when you're in the situation, when you were asking me about the CEOs and the CFOs that I've worked with in large, you know, even mm-hmm. the one that comes to mind really quickly is a Fortune 500 company that I worked for that was progressive. So you would think that this idea of crossing over in departments would be something that would be generally acceptable. And if not acceptable, would it be a novel idea, it would be something that would be welcomed in 2016, right?
I would think so.
Well, one of the clients that I was working with, for the strategy to be executed, it was incredibly important for these different departments to communicate with each other and cross over with each other. And I witnessed time after time the delay in the progress of the entire company moving forward financially because they wanted to keep everybody in these different silos. They did not want of Department A of operations interfacing with Department B of marketing or Department C of product development. Those were all separate units.
And why do you think
coexist.
That was? Why do you
I think it was short-sightedness. And I don't want to be disparaging, because there's positives and negatives in every way a company runs a company. But I think, unfortunately, that it was something that they were cutting their nose off to spite their face.
I've dealt with many companies that do that. Now, Tracy, you are the poster child for overachieving and how dangerous it can be. So
yes.
you're laughing. I'm applauding you for coming up with this topic, because I know you went through a lot to get to a point where you're paying it forward, and we're doing this radio show because of the experience and the hardships that you went through. So I do applaud you for that. Tracy's takeaways are coming up after this.
Is the only thing keeping you from launching your podcast not knowing how? Let our award-winning team of veteran broadcasters relieve the overwhelm of launching, managing, and growing your show. You create the content and let the experts take the stress out of the rest. Contact us at produceyourpodcast.com for a free 15-minute consultation. Produceyourpodcast.com.
Take your business personally. Journey to There.
We're back. You're listening to Journey to There, the radio show, along with Tracy DeForge. I'm Russ Reba. And the topic, 90% still an A, and why giving 100% is not always the best idea. And we were saying how, you know, we wouldn't even have this show if Tracy didn't give 150% in her recent
which
past.
Which was not always a good idea.
No, obviously not.
And thank you for saying that, Russ, because it really brings it home to me. In that this topic and a lot of the things that we do talk about that center around the perfectionism and the overachiever side of myself and most people in a lot of different areas of their lives is raw for me. It's still raw. And I think, you know, I heard one time that some people teach what they most need to learn. So I don't know if that's why I do the show or if, but really what I
Yeah, this arena is just a self-therapy
exactly.
For Tracy.
Well, they say if you're talking to yourself, you're talking to a crazy person. So I've got to talk to y'all. What am I going to do? But the topic, and typically the topics that I bring forth to the show almost always come from a personal experience I've had either since I decided the topic or leading up to the topic. And one of my dear friends that is, we're not involved in a business relationship. We're just literally good friends. And they are in the process of struggling in a situation with the, so they do own their own business. Gosh, I don't want to make this complicated. I want to make this short. This is a business owner who owns their own business, and the business is not growing as fast financially as they need it to grow.
Okay.
So then they are going to return back to the workforce in order to supplement said side business.
That happens often.
And it happens all the time. But the reason why I'm bringing up today is because one of the jobs that they're applying for put a little honor question in front of them, which was, do you or will you have another business? Do you operate or you continue to operate another business if you get this job?
Really?
And so they called me. Yes. And they called me and they said, well, I don't know what to do about this because the whole reason I want to get this job is to supplement my side business. So what should I do? And they specifically said, should I lie?
Well, and that seems like the type of question where there's only one answer.
Yeah, and you know what it is? Don't apply for the job.
Right.
That's the answer because you don't want to start out in a dishonest way in any relationship, business or otherwise. But the reality of the situation is that's going to be a job situation that's going to take everything out of you and not give you that space to do anything else. It's like a forewarning. Forewarned is forearmed. Like a
but
big
not,
red
not only that, the guilt that you're going to have if you start to, you know, look at other prospects and do things for yourself, for your own business. I mean, there's plenty of when I was working full time for a company, I set it out up front. I will take this job if you let me continue working on my side project. And they agreed, which is rare.
And I have, when I very first started my business as well, negotiated the same type of terms where it was fully understood that I would be traveling for my business that I was starting while I was operating the business that they had. And we were all in full agreement. But more importantly, I think, is that you really have to check yourself with why are you doing what you're doing and making sure that you're in alignment with the choices that you make are going to support your ultimate long-term goal. And if it's not a fit, it's not a fit. Like, cut it and move forward.
Right.
And I really loved what you brought up about this receptionist. It's kind of been nagging at me because I hadn't really thought about that perspective when I created this topic. But my takeaway that I created has so much to do with this. And I was really thinking of it more from a personal perspective. But one of the takeaways I have for today is to stop helping people that do not value your time or appreciate you. And initially, I was going forward with service-based businesses do this a lot because time is money and people are always saying, hey, can I take you to coffee? Can I take you to lunch? I'd love to pick your brain. It's like, okay, you can pick my brain, but here's my hourly rate. And I don't say it that curtly, but you really do have to set your boundaries if you're in a service-based business. But what you were saying was really interesting to me in this alternate perspective, which is if you're trying to work your way up and one of your abilities to do that is to show your skills in other ways, to be really careful for how long and how much you do that before you do actually get a new opportunity, because then it's that fine line where you could be taken advantage of or you could be promoted. But if you're being stuck in that same situation and continuing to give and give and give, you need to step back and start looking at that 10% of giving back to yourself.
Oh, and I love how you closed out with the 10%, because what I have highlighted here on my notes, give 90% to your business, job, company, and invest 10% in your self-care. So I did the math. If I gave this show 92% of me, take 8% for myself, I would have a 2% deficit regarding that 10%. But I'm fine with that, because
I don't do math, Russ, without a calculator.
Hold on.
You know this about me. Why are you doing this to me right now?
I'm fine with it, because this show is actually therapy for me, so I can give the whole 100%, and I'm getting that 10% plus 90%. I'm going to test you on this after we get off the show.
I'm about to light you on fire.
It comes down to I get an A+ on both sides, along with Tracy DeForge.
Whatever.
I'm Russ Reba, and if you leave a review today, make sure it's 90% or above. Log on right now to journeytothere.com. Listen to the past episodes. We are on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and so much more. We look forward to you joining us for the next episode right here at the intersection between personal and business growth. This is the Journey to There radio show.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.